The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent. We also want to welcome all those who are joining us at home on the live stream, those who are joining us on the dial-up service, and we're delighted to have you worshipping with us as today we consider the role of the Virgin Mary in all those preparations for our Lord's birth. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. This evening's service of nine lessons and carols is fully booked, but it will be live streamed and it'll be available to anybody to tune in if you wish to do so on the St. Finian's YouTube channel this evening. The service on Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock, the First Communion of Christmas, it goes live today to book in for those who might wish to come to that particular service. And on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, on Christmas morning, there will be a family service here at 10 o'clock. And next Sunday at 11, our service is the service of Holy Communion. Those who have been with us over the Sundays in Advent will be aware that we have been lighting the candles in our Advent wreath, and as we continue our preparations for the birth of our Saviour, we remember all the preparations that God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses and David, who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminded us of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, prophets who told of the coming Messiah. Our third candle reminded us of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and today we remember how Jesus, the Son of God, was born of a human mother, so that he was truly both God and man. The angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God." Mary said, "The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." So today, as we light the fourth candle on our Advent wreath, we remember Mary, who was obedient and so became the mother of Jesus. And we stand together to sing our opening hymn, Angel Voices Ever Singing.
You're very welcome to this, our service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 80. It's a psalm that looks forward to a restoration, a rescue from God. Psalm 80, verses 1 to 8. Hear, O shepherd. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, you that led Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your mighty strength, and come to our salvation. Turn us again, O God. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry at your people's prayer? You feed them with the bread of tears. You give them abundance of tears to drink. You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who was in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Here ends our Old Testament reading.
as we sing our next hymn, can children who and young people who are going to Sunday school please make their way over to the hall. Thank you. And our next hymn is Lord Jesus Christ. Take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the first chapter, beginning to read at the 39th verse. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One hath done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Here ends our New Testament reading.
As you know, in St. Finian's there's a rolling program of Alpha that's been carried out online, and people have enjoyed it and taken a lot from Alpha, and they've also put a lot into Alpha. We're going to watch a short film now which gives a sense of how the Alpha meetings are often just a conversation between friends in a safe space.
Growing up, I was in a very atheist household. It was my mother, my brother, and I. They didn't go to church. They didn't follow any religion of any sort. When I was 19, I was coming out of a really awful relationship that had lasted the good majority of 3 years. It was really hard on me mentally, emotionally, physically, just very dark and negative and toxic. I remember one day just being in the room alone, quiet and sad, and it felt like something was in the room with me, if you want to explain it that way. I just felt something caring for me, and I asked the question, is this God? Is this, you know, Jesus trying to get through to me? So I was left with a lot of questions.
There were quite a few like curious people there, either people that had grown up in a Christian background or had known people. I wondered what it would look like just to host an Alpha for my friends and particularly my coworkers. I was definitely pretty nervous just because obviously it's really easy to make a name for yourself at your workplace because you're there all the time, whether it's like, oh, you could be like the really fun one, or it's like very easily you could be like, oh, that Christian that always asked people to go to church. And I didn't want her to think that our friendship was just so I could invite her to church.
So Ashton and I were working a shift together. We were walking past each other and she stopped me from where I was going and just said it very directly, casually, I want you to come to an Alpha. What day is going to work for you? What day is consistent for you? And I was immediately drawn and ready to participate in it.
There's not really like a super easy way to do it. There's no, if you're ever waiting for like the right time, there's times that are better than others, but there's not like the time that it really like misses the moment.
So I showed up at Alpha for the first time. It was very welcoming, very casual. Lots of people that I knew were there, all my age. So, you know, you walk in, people were hugging, people were saying hello, people were catching up, there was food there. So it just felt like you were going to hang out with your friends. A lot of people had questions just like I did. They were either atheist, Christian, nothing. Like, they just had the same questions as me. So I felt very comfortable knowing that I wasn't the only one who was exploring it.
Maybe halfway, maybe like 3/4, we were just talking and it was discussion time. She's like, yeah, well, now that I'm Christian, and I was like, what? And I was like, kind of look at other people that like I know, and I looked at them, they looked at me, and I was like,
things just started to make sense for me, things started clicking. My past, there were like certain connecting dots that I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then, yeah, I think I just told you one day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a huge big bang or like I saw the light or anything. It was just, I woke up and I'm like, this is who I am.
God. I like firmly believe, like obviously it wasn't me that like brought you to Christ and like gave you this life. It was like I was just being like faithful. It's like God's call, and that looked like inviting you, and then he like did the rest, and he like obviously like does so much for your life. And
I think she just kind of helped me like see a little clearer, or like help me,
yeah,
move a little bit closer.
God told me.
I think that's a nice phrase. No big bangs, no bells or whistles, just conversations between people. And Alpha will be starting again in the new year. And even if you've been before, it would be lovely to see folks. Let's continue in our worship and say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the
forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent. God our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together, Lord, you are rich.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder how you think you deal with confusion or unexpected occurrences. I would have to say that I don't think I'm not so great at those things. I'm the sort of person who likes to plan out my day. I have a certain course of action that I want to take. And when the unexpected happens, I find it hard to react and to respond. But that's quite often the nature of the business. And I guess the times that we're living in are a case in point. Almost every month at the minute, whenever I'm trying to write the church magazine and schedule services or church meetings, there's always an underlying doubt that goes with everything that I write or I plan. Will these things be able to go ahead? Or there's that underlying anxiety in the pit of my stomach. What if someone in our household tests positive? All those plans that I've made, they're just going to have to go by the board. What will we do if we have to close the church building again? And so those questions keep arising and recurring in my consciousness. And I think in truth there's a sense in which we probably all feel that confusion at the present time to a greater or lesser extent. It's a time of year when we normally like to visit friends and family. We like to get together with people that we haven't seen in a while. And there are traditions in many of our lives that have built up over the years. For some, these might include a visit to church, some Christmas carols, a school nativity, the work Christmas do. And then all of a sudden this word that we've never heard of before throws doubt on all these things. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has seen numbers of infections reaching record levels, and everyone is wondering, what's the best thing to do? How do we stay safe and keep others safe? How do we balance our need for social contact and at the same time do our best to minimize the risks? And of course, there are no easy answers. And there are conflicting views depending on whether you are a scientist or a political leader, or you're a member of the business community trying to make a living and constantly finding the goalposts changing. I want to look for a few moments at Mary this morning, and I want to look at the way that she handled confusion, because I believe that she has much to teach us in these times. Very often when we receive Christmas cards, and I suspect you might well have received a card of this nature in recent days or weeks, we get this image of Mary, of being a lady with a blue cloak. Very often her face is gentle and it's serene as she looks at this perfectly sleeping little baby surrounded by straw and animals. And while I don't like to dispel myths, I suspect the reality was actually rather different. Because if we think about it, even for a moment, for Mary, there was that initial bewilderment following an angelic visitation. And then there was the reality of being told that you were about to become the mother of our Lord. And as you start to try to get your head around that information, the cold hard facts start to strike you. Number one, you're supposed to be the mother of our Lord, but you're not yet married. Number two, you have nowhere secure and safe to give birth for the very first time. And when we think about God's announcements of children to be born, we see that they were met with various responses throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Sarah, Abraham's wife, laughed when she was told similar news to Mary. And she laughed because she felt she was too old to have children. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he also doubted when he was told the news that he and Elizabeth were about to become parents. And Zechariah was a priest. So when God told him something, you would expect he might believe it. But by contrast, Mary, when she was given this news, submitted. And she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And when it comes to unexpected circumstances, from a global pandemic to illness or bereavement, we can all choose to respond in different ways. We can get angry or mad because this was not what we envisaged or hoped for. We can withdraw into ourselves in a wave of sadness and despair as we try to deal with whatever it is that we're coping with. Or like Mary, we can face this new, unwelcomed reality and trust that somehow God knows what he's doing. And when we look at Mary's response, and we heard it in this morning's gospel reading, it seems counterintuitive because she starts off by choosing to praise God, to glorify him, and to reflect on all the good things that he has done in her life. And in the midst of our struggles and the seemingly relentless nature of this pandemic, I wonder, can we pause to do that? Yes, we can dwell on all the things that we can't do at the present time. But what about the things that we can? What about the people who brighten our day or show us kindness? What about the facilities that are available to us that are not available to so many others throughout the world, whether they be hospitals or vaccinations or hand-washing facilities? Or what about the technology that has made all sorts of things possible to us? Things like connecting with friends and family who live across the miles, or being able to do our shopping without having to enter a situation we feel unsafe in, or even going to church or exploring questions of life and faith in an Alpha course online, like we heard about a few moments ago. And one of the amazing realities of this pandemic is that many people are finding faith in courses online. Mary recognizes the enormity of the call that God is placing upon her life. She recognizes that. But she knows also that she's ordinary. She knows she's from a very humble background. She's not a member of the aristocracy. She's not well educated. She's just a simple village girl. And yet God chose her to be the mother of our Lord. What's his call on your life, do you think? Could it be to be, at this time, a friend to someone in real need? Could it be to be a voice of steadiness and consistency when the world around us seems such a mad and often unstable place? Could his call on your life be to be someone who's known to pray? And so whenever difficult things happen, you might be the sort of person that people would phone or text asking for your prayers. Mary chose to rejoice in this calling that she'd been given. And when I think about Mary, to me it's like a picture of a heart surrendered. Because Mary was happy to be a nobody of significance. She was happy to be an ordinary village girl. But at the same time, she was equally happy to step up and to respond to whatever the Lord asked of her. What an example she is to us. And in this powerful song of praise or surrender that we heard, that's known throughout church history as the Magnificat, God is pictured as being a champion for the poor, for the oppressed, and for the despised. And when I hear that, I often wonder, does that make me feel more than a little bit uncomfortable? During the week that is past, I spoke to a doctor, and he was just back from a 2-week trip to Jordan, where he spent some time doing home visits and clinics for refugees from Iraq and Syria and Egypt. And as he described the work that he'd been involved in, and he went with a church agency, it was moving to hear the way the church was doing very practical things on the ground to lift up those who had incredibly tough situations to contend with. And people, regardless of their religious background, they were glad to receive prayer and practical help. And somehow the light was able to shine in the darkness. And we also see this locally through the work of agencies like CAP or the Larder Food Bank or the Salvation Army or the Simon Community. And I guess the reality for many of us is that we feel quite scared and we feel quite insecure around such levels of need. But Mary speaks of a God who enters those experiences with us and wants to lift up the lowly, the downtrodden, and maybe even to use us in some small way to make that happen. We're all living through a very challenging time just now. So let's look at how Mary responded to the confusion that she experienced. And let's make our own personal decision to surrender and to trust, even if we don't exactly know why these difficult things are happening. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your church at this time. We pray for David, our bishop, and his leadership and his responsibilities. And we pray for the many different ways that churches are trying to respond to people's needs in this challenging season. Whether it's offering worship services in person or online, we thank you for all who facilitate this for us here in St. Finian's. We thank you for our technology team, those who manage the website and the Facebook page. We give thanks for all who teach our children in Sunday school. We also want to pray with thanksgiving for those who've decorated the church so beautifully for this season within the limitations of what we're allowed to do. We pray for churches involved in phoning those who are alone or isolated, and also for churches that are praying for those with big responsibilities whose decisions impact many lives. And we pray also for ministries of compassion and care, both locally and internationally, resourcing food banks, resourcing emergency supplies in COVID times, the resourcing of PPE and clean water and vaccination programs in the poorer parts of your world. And we ask that your light and love and hope would be experienced and would shine in the darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for nations that are experiencing very difficult things. We pray for those in the Philippines after the typhoon of the weekend that claimed many lives, devastated many homes. We pray too for the people of Afghanistan at a time of fear and food shortages and a very harsh and frightening regime. We pray for help from the international community to bring relief to vulnerable people in remote communities. And we ask for courage and resilience in the harsh winter conditions, and for a softening of hearts that are hard and hold great power and influence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we remember particularly today all who find this time of year very difficult. We remember those who have lost loved ones during this past year and feel the pain of that loss acutely just now. We pray this morning for Irene Richardson on the death of her brother in England this week. And we ask for your comfort and support for her and the family circle. We also want to remember those who are seriously ill in hospital or nursing homes. And we remember especially today Edmund, Liana, and Dorothy. We pray for all who are caring for them and for their families. And so we take some moments in quiet just to pray for those we know who are dealing with difficult things. We ask you to lift them up and to help to carry their load. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
As we continue to reflect on God's call on Mary and God's call on us, let's sing together. Mary sang a song. With a blessing prayer. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Of the Father's Heart Begotten.